It's Wisconsin Today. I'm Kate Archer-Kent.
And I'm Rob Ferret. Step into your local Wisconsin tavern or liquor store, and you might notice a newer alternative to alcohol available for purchase.
More and more bars across the state are offering drinks containing THC and CBD, most often in a canned seltzer form.
The products are technically legal, producers say, because they don't use marijuana. That THC comes from hemp plants in levels that are allowed under the most recent U.S. Farm Bill.
We're checking in on the rise of THC beverages in the state with two producers.
Will Glass is the founder of the Brewing Project in Eau Claire and the president of the Wisconsin Brewers Guild. And Colin Gazinski is the founder of Cani Infusion Bar and Cafe in Milwaukee, where he goes by the name Colin Plant. Colin, welcome to Wisconsin Today.
Thank you. Thanks for having us.
And Will, thanks for being with us.
You bet. Thanks for having me.
Now, it's interesting, you both took different paths into this product, so I want to hear your stories. Will, first of all, you came from the brewing side of things. How did your brewery first get into making THC drinks?
We followed the market. We were paying attention to what was going on around us. We saw the things happening in the state of Minnesota, started seeing a little bit of action happening here in Wisconsin, and just kind of decided to jump in, head first, and It's all kind of gone from there.
And Colin, you came into this from being a CBD and THC shop. What led you into the beverage world?
Following the market as well. We were Milwaukee's first specialty hemp store, opened in 2018. And in around, 21, 22, just the retail kind of hemp product alone, business model wasn't incredibly sustainable. It just needed a pivot on our end. And so we were able to acquire our real estate and convert it into, a cafe bar that just specialized in THC and functional mushroom and just plant-based ingredients. So kind of, followed the market as well.
Now, before we dig deeper into how this works, I assume a question on most people's listening minds is, hey, wait a minute. Wisconsin is not among the states that's legalized recreational cannabis use or medical for that matter. What is the legality here? Colin, let's start with you. How are you open given that we haven't had this legalization process yet?
Sure. So the key word differential is marijuana, right? We're not legal for marijuana business here in Wisconsin, but we are legal for cannabis business in the form of hemp. So the Farm Bill back in 2018 federally, changed that for all 50 states, and the industry evolved pretty rapidly, starting with, just non-psychoactive CBD and just hemp-derived products. In and around 2020, where there is more regulation, there is more innovation, typically is how it goes. And so, it didn't take long or a ton of bandwidth to figure out that, hey, we can manipulate the weighted metric in which this is determined, either hemp or marijuana. And, the Farm Bill either intentionally or unintentionally overlooked that. You could kind of put your tinfoil hat on and think one of two ways. But yeah, it's just a loophole with regards to hemp, and the THC ingredient is what, intoxifies us chemically, and it grows in both plants. So that is how we're able to stay out of jail in what we do.
And Will, I imagine you did some careful reading up before you took the plunge here.
Yeah, absolutely. Kind of the same idea there. We, did our research. We actually contacted the Department of Revenue to just ask questions about whether or not they viewed this as being currently regulated or currently prohibited in the state of Wisconsin. Talking to other producers, getting a feel for what would keep us in compliance. As a brewery, we produce alcohol, obviously. We're also a winery and distillery. So, we're regulated at the federal level by the TTB, the FDA, and then the state of Wisconsin, the Department of Agriculture, Trade, Consumer Protection, as well as Department of Revenue. So we wanted to make sure that we had all of our I's dotted and T's crossed. And at the end of the day, I felt comfortable with where we were at. And, like I said, we jumped in head first.
And this may be a fine point, but as I understand it, in some states that have legalized marijuana straight up, business owners still have trouble with banking. Banks, because it's a federally regulated product, are worried about it. Now, as Colin was saying, this seems to be a loophole in federal regulation, but Will, have you had any problems with financial institutions who want to keep you at arm's length?
We have not. And honestly, the big thing that, and as we talk to people about these issues, you know, we talk about how this is the United States of America, and unless something is prohibited, then it's allowed. And when the 2018 Farm Bill happened, it explicitly allowed for these activities. So we haven't had any issues there. I will say that there has been a decent amount of education that we have had to provide, you know, both not necessarily to our financial institutions, but to a simple concept as like freight companies that don't feel like they can transport these goods across state lines. You know, we've had to do some education there and explaining what the product is, you know, why it's legal, and it's legal because it's not illegal.
And Colin, have you had to do some of that education with any people you have to deal with in the business world?
Yeah, we've had a very different experience. We've been removed from 5 banks. We've had 4 different payment processors over the 7 years of our existence. But, you know, the difference is, you know, similar to a grocery store or a liquor store that's selling these types of products, it may not be their primary product, right? And our business is rooted in the name of cannabis. So it's a little hard for us to disguise that to a payment processor. The fact still stands that, you know, banks are federally chartered, and this is a federally legal product in that of hemp, but the gray area is massive. And so we've had, you know, again, 5 banks close our accounts. We've had, you know, 4 different payment processors over the last 7 years. So it's been, you know, a high risk kind of dynamic for us in that regard. Again, there's not really a way to disguise it. If you're a brewery or, you know, distillery that does this, if you were a couple of years ago, you would have been on a targeted list for, you know, being able to transact and process those payments, and your banks, you know, probably would have been a little bit more attentive. But, you know, we were the early ones through that wall, and the bloodiest, certainly. So it's certainly calmed down a little bit in regards to financial services, but it is still, you know, something that a Chase or a Bank of America would easily close an account for.
We're talking about the THC beverage industry in Wisconsin. Our guests are Will Glass from the Brewing Project in Eau Claire and Colin Gazinski, or Colin Plant, from Cannae Infusion Bar and Cafe in Milwaukee. Colin, can you talk about someone walks in the door at the cafe? What are they looking at? What are they ordering?
Sure. So our business is unique in the fact that there's kind of 3 businesses operating out of 1 location, and we just have 1 brick and mortar. And an e-commerce, you know, business as well. But, you know, the cafe kind of greets them first, and, you know, it's made to order coffee and, you know, craft cocktails. We, you know, transitioned to, 70% reduction of products in this transformation from a retail, you know, store boutique to a cafe. So we have a retail component in there as well. And then we have a rentable event space outdoor that kind of, you know, brings us summer activity. But we, you know, they're greeted by the cafe. They're looking at menus. They're there to drink, then purchase, and, you know, or purchase and then, you know, consume these beverages on site. We wanted to have a little bit more control over that experience instead of just sending people home with products and, you know, not being able to kind of guide them through the best and most enjoyable experience. So naturally, it was the answer for us just to keep them in our space a little bit longer and kind of curate that experience for them.
And Will, take us into your seltzer now.
Sure. So we produce, I would say we're probably one of the largest producers in the state at this point, where we're making our own brands and we're also co-packing and producing for lots of other brands. So, you know, in addition to our products, we're shipping from Florida and Georgia, New York, you know, all the way out west. So it's pretty broad. I mean, this market is really growing. It's growing fast. We do sell some on site in our tap room, but not much. As mentioned, you know, we're a brewery and we're beer first, but the Delta 9, you know, market has really taken off, and we're just going to keep producing what the consumers want.
It occurs to me, Will, weirdly, I think I understand the beer brewing process better than I do the seltzer making process. What are the steps? What is involved in making these seltzers and then, I guess, infusing? Is that the technical term with THC?
Yep. As we sit here right now, I can hear our packaging line canning a product beneath my feet. So, these products are different in terms of how we produce them because there isn't alcohol in them. There is no true natural preservative. So, we actually purchased equipment to be able to do flash pasteurization and tunnel pasteurization to make sure that we're FDA compliant and that we're not putting out any products that, could make anybody sick. I heard it a long time ago from somebody I respect in the industry who said, "You can never get sick from drinking beer. You can get sick from drinking too much beer, but beer is not going to make you sick." On the flip side of this, we do run into the issue of these products potentially being able to harbor pathogens. And, from a process standpoint, we take that very seriously. We're blending these tanks together. We're infusing them with the THC emulsion. We're making sure that the pH is low enough. We're following process authority letters to make sure that the products that we're putting out are safe. And the process really is quite a bit different from, fermenting alcohol. But at the end of the day, it's really good manufacturing procedures, clean equipment, making sure that your products are in spec and that we're giving the customer what they expect they're getting. And a big part of that is that third-party independent testing and making sure that what we say is in the can is actually in the can and making sure that there aren't things in the can that shouldn't be there.
I want to get into the response you've both gotten, and I can see a range. Some people are like, great, I'm happy that we have this. I want to try it. Some people might be whatever, it's not for me, but I'm okay with this being on the market. But some people might say, hang on, there are reasons marijuana has not been legalized in Wisconsin. People concerned, including key state lawmakers, that it is a gateway product. They might say, well, you're just having a workaround to deal a drug in Wisconsin. For that last group, Will, what do you say?
For the last group, I think, and to be honest, I have talked to plenty of legislators about this. This is a growing market, and at the end of the day, prohibition doesn't work. It didn't work with alcohol. It certainly didn't work with, or it's not working with marijuana. And while this may be a workaround, the marijuana laws by going through hemp-derived THC, the consumer is going to get what they want, and ultimately the market should decide where things go. And if at the end of the day the market is the constituents for these legislators, I think you don't have to look any further than every border that Wisconsin has and the legal cannabis markets that exist in those markets. We have certainly fallen behind. We're not able to give consumers necessarily what they're asking for in some ways. We're the state of Wisconsin is certainly missing out on tax revenue as a result. And, we should be able to give people what they want. And if it's not doing any harm, and I would certainly argue that it is not, we should continue to be allowed to produce these products and sell them at market.
And Colin, how about you?
Yeah, I would echo a lot of those statements. I mean, the market is going to get what it wants. I mean, arguably, I think many of us on this side, but certainly, the consumer side would argue that cannabis is a healthier option than continuous alcohol consumption. Obviously, everything in moderation, but I think that the sales, the statistics over the last couple of years, if you talk to alcohol distributors, if you talk to festivals, all of these are impacted by these products. I think it's making up 20% of most of the alcohol distributors' portfolios these days. Festivals, we just got done doing Pride Festival in Milwaukee. Their alcohol sales were down. I don't want to say what those numbers were specifically, but pretty noticeably. There's a whole new generation of consumers that are not consuming alcohol like they used to. And maybe that's not a bad thing, right? I enjoy beer and spirits as well. But I think especially in Wisconsin, culturally, alcohol has been a huge part of everything we do here. And it's different in other parts of the country. And good, bad, or indifferent, I feel like the market is going to dictate what it wants.
All right, I want to throw a massive hypothetical at each of you. Suppose, let's say 2 years from now, things change, either minds change in the state legislature or the faces change in the state legislature, and Wisconsin were to legalize recreational use of marijuana. How would your businesses change? Colin, let's start with you on this one.
Yeah, it's, you know, certainly too early to tell. We spend a lot of time working with our legislators as well. And you know, I've spent some time up in Madison over the last year. And, you know, what's probably most likely, and we want to see if we can kind of avoid this if possible, is, you know, in a lot of these markets, big corporate interests come in, they take over. And they box out smaller enterprise, and it's only them that can keep up with the compliance requirements and the licensure. So the state, you know, kind of looks at it as we would rather have, you know, four or five, you know, six big players in here setting up multiple different, you know, franchise options than deal with, you know, 150 mom and pops. So, you know, the negative impact is you know, something we do fear. And we want Wisconsin to, as one of the last states that's going to legalize this product, learn from the mistakes that all of our neighbors have made for the last, you know, 20 years, you know, going all the way out west, right? There's been a lot of fumbles of these programs from, you know, equality, social equity, you know, it's a pretty white ran business, and, you know, that shouldn't really be the case. So, you know, how is Wisconsin going to approach this? We've got a lot of templates to learn from the mistakes around us, and it is our responsibility to approach legalization of marijuana in a thoughtful and you know, I think calculated way. So yeah, it's anybody's guess at this point, but you know, we do fear some negative impact. We're hoping we can influence or, you know, just share some testimony and use cases that would keep us around.
And Will, your thoughts on that hypothetical marijuana legalization future and how it affects the THC seltzer business that you've gotten into?
You know, I think that the devil is in the details. I think that regulation can be a good thing. I think that overregulation is a bad thing. That said, I believe that if we put regulation in place that facilitates growth and, I'll say, increases consumer confidence in the product or the product or the sector or the segment, this industry could explode. It could become considerably larger than it is today, you know, be it regulation on hemp products today or be it a full-blown recreational marijuana. You know, that creates opportunity. And as Colin was mentioning, I mean, the entrepreneurial spirit and the equity that people should be entitled to that opportunity to have could really be great, and it could be a boom for the state of Wisconsin. So I certainly welcome it. Like I said, the devil is in the details, though, where overregulation isn't necessarily a good thing, but at the same time, regulation can bring with it consumer confidence, and I think that's a great thing.
We'll leave it there. Will, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you.
And Colin, thanks for being with us.
Thank you.
Will Glass is the founder of the Brewing Project in Eau Claire and the president of the Wisconsin Brewers Guild. Colin Gazinski is the founder of Can I Infusion Bar and Cafe in Milwaukee. They're with us today to share the rising popularity of THC beverages here in Wisconsin. ¶¶